open your authorized version of the Holy Scriptures that you'll find in front of you in the pew, and turn to the 44th chapter of the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 44. And we're reading at verse 18 of this chapter down to the end of the chapter. This is the plea made by Judah for the sparing of Benjamin when they appeared before Joseph in Egypt. The reading at the verse in the 44th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 44 and verse 18. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servants, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou didst say unto thy servant, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou didst say unto thy servant, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again, and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, he shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, Let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come to my father? Ending our reading at verse 34, And God shall stamp it with his own divine seal of approval and blessing. I I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Turn with me in your Bible this morning to this 44th chapter of the book of Genesis, and to the verse 34, the final word in the plea of Judah to Joseph. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. If ever I have been forced to preach on a subject by the direction of the Holy Spirit, I must say that is this morning. I had another sermon carefully prepared and ready. I'd been working on it all week and felt it was the sermon I should preach. But in my own daily reading on Friday, this verse jumped out of the scriptures, caught me by the neck, and said, you've got to preach on me on Sunday morning. I said, I have my preparation done. I'm working on my evening sermon now. I don't care what you're working on. You're under orders. You can put a match to the other sermon, and you can preach on this. And so I bowed and said, yes, I will. And I want to deliver my soul to you this morning on this text of Scripture. There are three things that I want to mention. First of all, let me briefly show you the historical narrative in which this portion of Scripture occurs. A very interesting narrative about the life of Jacob. Then let me look with you at the actual events that are recorded here. And then finally, let us look at the most powerful of teaching that is presented here in this portion of the Word of God. We are all, I'm sure, acquainted with the fact that Jacob had to leave his home because his brother Esau was going to murder him and become the second Cain in the Scriptures. And if you turn over with me to the 28th chapter of Genesis, you have there recorded what happened to Jacob. He was 40 years of age. He had never left home in all those 40 years. He was a man who dwelt in his father's tent. But at the age of 40, we find something happened to him, and we see him in flight from his own home. And he had to flee away and go to the brother of his mothers for sanctuary and refuge because of the threat of Esau. So you have the flight of this man. And when you come down the 28th chapter, then you have the night of this man. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. And then, if you look at verse 13, you have the sight of this man. As he slept, he saw the Lord. Behold, the Lord stood above the ladder. And then he had a wonderful experience of the might of the Lord. And the Lord promised him that he was going to be greater than all the dust of the earth in number. That he was going to spread abroad from the east and the north and the south and the west. That all families and the whole earth would be blessed through him. That God would keep him, preserve him, sustain him, and will never leave him until he has done all that he has promised to him. And what happened to Jacob? He had a terrible fright. And it says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place. And then to him there came the light. But he wasn't to be afraid. He was at the house of God. He was at the very entrance of heaven. And in the morning, he arose early and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar in that very place. And he poured the oil upon it, and he called the name of it Bethel. But the name of that city was at the first. And then we have his right. He acted rightly. What did he do? He entered into a solemn vow with God. Here we have the conversion of this man to the truth of the gospel. And he finished off by saying, this stone that I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. He was acting rightly in response to the appearance of God. You'll never understand the life of Jacob until you understand this chapter. For this chapter puts Jacob into perspective as we want to study his life. Now, having said that, I want you to look at the powerful events that took place. There's another man comes into this picture. His name is Judah. Judah was a strange character. It was Judah that proposed that Joseph should be sold into Egypt and become a slave. And you'll read that in the 37th chapter. And then, in the 38th chapter, we have the record of God's punishment. He lost for Jacob his son Joseph by making a slave of him. And then God killed both Judah's sons. God killed them. You reap what you sow. God took an awful toll on Judah. And then God removed from him his wife, and she died. And then he became a man of shame. There's one of the saddest stories in the Bible about him, and how he became a man of terrible shame and terrible wickedness. Judah. And then they go down to Egypt, his brethren and himself. And they didn't know that Joseph knew their language. But he did. And as they talked, Judah spoke, and Joseph learned that God had been dealing with Judah. That the mills of God had ground him to the dust. This wasn't the old Judah with his sins and his sinnings. His wickedness against Joseph and his life of shame. This was a broken man. This was a man who now felt and felt deeply about the past and the way it acted contrary to God's word. And we read this morning his plea. His plea for Benjamin. His plea for his old father, who was loaded down with all the loss of Joseph. And Judah was changed. The grace of God had changed him. And that grace of God caused him to say this. And we have been reading that great verse. And he said, of course, to God, to Joseph, in that verse that we have just read. And he said he could not go up to his father. How shall I go up to my father if the lad be not with me? For the first time in all his life, Judah recognized that he was his brother's keeper. And that he had a solemn responsibility to bring Benjamin back, even if it cost him his own life to do so. And he was prepared to give his life and become a slave forever in Egypt in order that the lad's life might be saved. There's not one of us in this congregation today but has not the responsibility in the coming few days to do their best to get the boys and girls to Christ. I was thinking, if some terrible calamity fell on this city, how would we feel if thousands of our boys and girls were lost in that calamity? And we hadn't done our best to win them to the Savior. How can I go up to my father if the lad be not with us? Wilbur Chapman, the great evangelist, tells a story in one of his books of the old days of pioneering in the west of the United States. And he said one day a man came in, a pioneer, to the town, the small town of pioneers in the western states. He had an old cart that was the worst of wear. He had an old horse in that cart, and he went to the store and he left the cart and the horse outside. He put the reins around the bar at the door where they tied up the horses, and he went in. And suddenly he was hardly over the step until there was a cry that the horse had taken off. He ran out at desperate speed, and the reins were dragging on the ground behind the horse that was galloping. And he fell to the ground and caught those reins and was dragged for a long way along the road until he was bruised and bleeding. And eventually the horse stopped. The men around gathered round and they said, "Was it worth it? That's an old cart that's not worth much. The horse is not worth much. And yet you were prepared to give your life to stop it." The man dragged himself from the ground. He had it by the wheel of the cart. He pulled himself up. And then he walked slowly round to the back of the cart. And there was a rug there. And he lifted the rug. And there was a baby boy, his son. That's why he was prepared to give his life. It wasn't to save the horse or the cart. It was to save the lad. How can I go up to my father if the lad be not with us? Every child that will come to this meeting has an immortal soul. Every child requires to be saved by the grace of God. Every child that knows its right hand from its left has come to the years of accountability, because God said to Jonah, "These children that know their right hand from their left are accountable." But a child that doesn't know his right hand from his left has not reached the years of accountability, and therefore is covered in the great atonement that Christ made at Calvary. And I believe that every child that dies outside the years of accountability will be in heaven. I believe they're all covered in the election of God, in the election of our Heavenly Father. But once a child knows its right hand from its left, it has a serious responsibility. And you have a serious responsibility, for the blood of that child is upon you. Can we go up to meet our Heavenly Father if we have not discharged the duties that God knows we must discharge this week? Once a year, we have the great opportunity of bringing these children to these special meetings. Once a year, we have the opportunity to see the Spirit of God at work amongst them. Once a year, we have the opportunity to lead them to Christ. We don't know how many children that were with us last year will not be with us this year. Death takes its toll of children as well of more mature people. The child dies as well as the aged man. And so we have this responsibility laid upon us. How can I go up and the lad be not with me at the judgment seat of Christ? How will we answer our Lord? How will we answer the scrutiny of God? There will be no judgment at the judgment seat of Christ upon our sin, because our sin has been answered through Christ's death and blood shedding on the tree. But we will answer for our service just the same way. When you go to a show, they're judges. They're not carrying out judicial authority. They're not judges of people's crimes or misdemeanors. They're judges of their service. And we're going to stand at the judgment day, not at the great white throne, but at the judgment seat of Christ. You know what it tells me in this book? That much of our service will be wood and hay and stubble. And God will have to put the torch to it. It'll be burned up with God's fire. But we ourselves will be saved, because salvation is by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. Tell me, is your week this week going to be filled with wood, hay, and stubble? Or is it going to be filled with the precious stone, with the gold and the silver? Are you going to take time off from no doubt a busy schedule in the morning before you leave home to kneel at your bedside and pray especially for these meetings, that God will bring the children in and that God will touch their little hearts with His grace and His love, and that Jesus will be here saying, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." At the end of this week, will you be able to look back and say, "Every day I spent time to pray for those services"? That'll mean that it'll be gold and silver and precious stone. And what about the work that you can do? There's a task that every one of us can do this week. Will you do that task? Even it's coming to the service and sitting with a row of boys and girls to keep them in order so that the preacher may effectually preach the word. Even it's coming down to this building earlier and going out in a bus and sitting in that bus and looking after a busload of boys and girls who are going to hear words whereby they can be saved. Alas, 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 many of the parents of those children have no interest in them as far as eternal things are concerned. They have not got praying fathers or praying mothers or praying brothers or praying sisters. You'll have to be a father to them. You'll have to pray for them. You'll have to be a mother to them. You'll have to pray for them. You'll have to be a big brother or a big sister. You'll have to pray for them. No one else. You remember what David said? No man cared for my soul. Are you going to care for the souls of these children? Are you going to discharge your duty? Are you going to see to it that at the end of this week, on Saturday, you'll be able to wake up in the morning and say, I discharge my duty? And the Lord will be able to say of you, as He said of that woman, she has done what she could. She has done what she could. Will the Lord be able to say that of you? Oh, my friend, I see Judas standing there, the tears running down his cheeks, and he says, How can I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? How shall we go to the judgment seat of our Lord if these boys and girls are not with us? Saved by the grace of the Lord, washed in the Redeemer's blood, made heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a solemn and serious responsibility. Let us discharge it. Let us come here next Sabbath morning rejoicing. For he that goeth out bearing precious seed weeping shall come home with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. A young boy could be saved this week. That could be a great evangelist, a great missionary, a great preacher. A young girl could be saved this week that would bring to this world of darkness the light of Christ by her ministry. We do not know the potential that's in every one of these children. You have a potential yourself to aid our Lord. He has no feet but your feet. He has no hands but your hands. He has no tongue but your tongue. Are you going to hand over your body and saying, by the grace of God this week, I will discharge my duty? Should it only be sitting on a seat and radiating the love of Christ from my heart and taking a sincere interest in the eternal well-being of these children? If that's all I can do, I'll do it. And I'll do it with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength. Oh, today we have a vow to make. But oh, today we have a vow to pay. And God wants us to make the vow. And God wants us to pay the price. And in doing that, God will reward us all richly. So let's get into this task. Not with sorrow, but with joy. Not because we are being pushed, but because the Lord has generated an inspiration in our hearts. Oh, to reach out. And at the end of this week, to see men and women of tomorrow redeemed now as boys and girls through the preaching of the Holy Word of God. May it be so. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy Word to our hearts, for its simplicity, for its challenge, and for its necessity. And oh, bless this mission. Bless the people of God here. May we work hard. Lord, be pleased to give us favorable nights. Take away the snow and the frost and the cold. And, O God, may this week be a week of sunshine, a week of blessing, a week when God moves upon His people. Bless our dear brother Everett. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Bless our brother Gary. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Bless us all. Fill us all with the Holy Spirit. And may minister and congregation and elders and committee members and Sabbath school teachers, all of us get out with the gospel and get it into the hearts of these boys and girls who will take our place tomorrow. So do it, Lord, and we will give Thee the praise and the honor and the glory, for Thou alone art worthy. And the people of God said, Amen.